It just says a lot about what's on the hearts of people. Someone said, if you want to know what's on someone's mind, listen to them speak. If you want to know what's on someone's heart, listen to them pray. And it's true. And I'm thankful that we have people that are concerned about others. And we have the confidence that if we take things to God in prayer, that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. Aren't you glad for that? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Scripture says that though he was tempted in all points, such as we, he was yet without sin. Aren't you glad for our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ? Deuteronomy, would you turn there? Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And while you're finding your place there, when you find Deuteronomy chapter 1, stand to your feet. I want to remind you of our leadership conference. If you are a leader of the church, you go ahead and sign up. If you're not, but would like to know more about becoming a leader or leadership of the church, I'd like for you to sign up. I think you would benefit from it. It's just a time where we have training. We come together about vision. We normally have anywhere from 55, 65, 70 people attend. And we just come together and we just share and we enjoy and we look to God's word and we project. We look out and we see what God has for us, and then we begin to structure and to plan and to pray. Okay, this is what God has for us. Now, God, who and how do you want this to be accomplished? And this year we're going to be talking about servant leadership. There's a movement in the church that has taken on the world's form of leadership, which is dictation. That's not Jesus' way. When you study the scripture, you'll find that some of the disciples, in particular James and John, said, we want to sit on your right hand and on your left. You know, we want to be the big boys. We want to call the shots. And Jesus said, you've got this all wrong. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you've got this all wrong, fellas. If you want to be first, you're going to have to become last. If you want to be exalted, you're going to have to humble yourself. Right? Yeah. And he said, the Son of Man hath not come to be ministered to, but to minister. And he said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you're going to have to learn what it is to serve other people. And brethren, if we want to make a difference, now Jude put it this way in verse 22, having compassion, making a difference. And so if we want to really make a difference for the cause of Christ, and we do, and the kingdom of God, we're going to have to learn what it is to serve people. That goes against the flesh, doesn't it? It does. You get a title, you think, well, I ought to be telling people what to do, you know, not serving them. Well, a title's not what it's about. It's about an attitude. What is your attitude? I pray your attitude is an attitude to serve. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, and we're just going to look into some things that God's laid on my heart, and hopefully we'll get out of chapter 1. We highlight a little bit of chapter 2 about choosing your battles, but I've tried to make it my habit to read the first three chapters every morning of Deuteronomy, and each time I go back, God just gives me something and says, you know, I want you to present this, and so that's what I'm going to do. Let's read the first 8 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to read, and you follow along, and then we'll get into this, and I think God has something for us tonight. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Zair unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn ye, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and to all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and into Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God, and what we have read is the word of God. And I pray that we would receive it as such, not as the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the very word of God. Lord, I pray you'd give us some historical truth. But more importantly, I pray that you would give us some practical truth from the historical account that is given in your word this evening. And I pray we would take this truth and we would apply it to our daily living, that we could bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for Jesus. How sweet is the name of Jesus. Just the mention of that name floods my heart with thanksgiving and joy. And I want to thank you for Jesus, my wonderful Savior. Help us to look into your word to gain something that would help us to honor that name and to take the name of Jesus with us as we go out into a world that is hurting and needy, that we would with compassion look on them that are without and share the blessed good news of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers unto all. And we will thank you for that you do for us, because we do ask it in that name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Just by way of, I guess, introduction, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that we've discussed, maybe a little review. We talked about the outline, and I'd ask you if you've written this down, write it down. We'll keep revisiting this. The first three chapters 1 through 3 in the book of Deuteronomy, look back at history. And so the first three chapters is looking back at the history of when God called the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then chapters 4 through chapter 12 deal not with history but with holiness. And it takes an inward look. These people are called upon to look in their hearts. It's the second generation. You remember the first generation was told, you're going to die. Your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness because you rebelled. And in your unbelief, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land. And so chapters 4 through chapter number 12 deal with an inward look, and that's holiness. And then chapter number 13 through chapter 30 is a forward look, and that's looking at their heritage. He says, this is what you have, and this is what God has given you, and this is what you can claim, and this is what you can possess, and this is the blessing that God has given you. And then the book closes, chapters 31 through 34, with a hope, and that is a forward look, that God gives them hope that though God's servant, Moses, is dead, God's not through with his people. And he has raised up another man that's going to take them into the promised land, and of course we know that to be Joshua. So that's the outline of the book. That's the outline of what God, listen, it's not the only outline. That's just the outline that I think it better lays out what the book of Deuteronomy is. We said the book Deuteronomy, the very word Deuteronomy, means second law. Now, it doesn't mean there's two laws. It means that there's a restating of the law. We said the book of Exodus had the Ten Commandments given, and then the second time that the Ten Commandments are given are right here in the book of Deuteronomy. All right? And so we have the law restated. Some of our children and a few adults have been learning the Ten Commandments. I hope that you know what the Ten Commandments are. So the Ten Commandments are not important. I don't know who told you that. They're very important. They're part of the law. And the law was our schoolmaster. And our schoolmaster brings us to Christ. Amen. Now the schoolmaster can't get you into Christ, but the schoolmaster sure can bring you to Christ. By the way, I'm glad that on that mount, that the law was not all that was given. There was more given than the law on Mount Sinai. There was the blueprint of the tabernacle. You see, the law is the way to God. The law convicts us of our sin and brings us to God. But the tabernacle teaches us how we can approach God and even go to God and worship God. The tabernacle is a picture of grace. The tabernacle is actually a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle itself and all of its furnishings speak of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And so the book Deuteronomy is a transitional book. Now, what are some of the things that we find in the book of Deuteronomy as far as transition? Well, I think the most important thing is that it's a transition from one generation to the next. By the way, I'm glad that God deals with generation after generation. I'm glad God doesn't give up. Listen, now that first generation, they had a choice. Can I tell you, everyone does? Everyone has a choice. So, yeah, preacher, God has designed some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. There's nothing further from the truth. That's not so. It's not biblical. I know about sovereignty. We know that the Bible teaches the sovereignty of God. We know the Bible teaches providence. But the Bible also teaches human responsibility. The Bible teaches free will. Aren't you glad for the free will of man? That's right. And so we have to be careful sometimes when we're talking about the free will of man because, you know, there may be some things that we don't want or we don't like. But now you be careful. The enemy will try to take your privileges and liberties away that way. That's right. I'm glad for the free will of man, especially in the matter of approaching God and coming to God. Aren't you? Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about some of this transition. I said the book of Deuteronomy is to the Old Testament, what the book of Acts is to the New Testament. The first five books of the Old and the New Testament are history, all right? And the book of Deuteronomy is like a bridge that bridges us into the new land, all right? The promised land. Could you imagine reading Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and then jumping over into Joshua? You'd be wondering, how'd they get in here? Where'd Moses go? How'd Joshua become the leader, right? See, it's transitional. It's from the old generation to the new generation. It's the same as the New Testament. Could you imagine reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just going straight into the book of Romans? Who's Paul? You know, who wrote this book? Paul, who's he? Right? So they're very similar, and God used them the same way. So we have a transition from the old generation to the new, but something else we have. We also have a transition from experiences. Let me show you just one that I think is very important. Notice, if you would, in chapter 1, look in verse number 27. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "And ye murmur," speaking of that old generation, when God told them to go into the promised land, they sent, which we'll get to this a little bit more in detail tonight, they sent the spies in, they came back and they said, "We can't do it." Now, God said they could. And you say, "Well, I tell you right now, preacher, they're carnal." I know, just like you and just like me. Sometimes God tells us what to do and we say, "No, I think it'd be better done this way." Right? We think we have to help God out. Can I tell you, God doesn't need my help. He doesn't. I'm glad God uses it. I'm glad God uses me. Aren't you glad God uses us? That's right. But now, God doesn't have to have our help. God will still be God without us. But where would we be without him? And so here we see where the scripture says in verse number 27, he said, "And you murmured in your" what? Tents. See, this was a nomad people. These were people that were just wandering around in the wilderness. This old generation. But they're getting ready to pass over into the land. They're getting ready to go from a transition from wandering to occupying, to settling in. Turn over to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, and we'll see how that this transition is made. See, as they were wandering in the wilderness, they were dwelling in tents. There was no stability. They were on a wilderness diet. But when they got in the new land, brethren, it was different. I got to tell you, God has some different things for us that's still yet to be realized. I don't want to spend my Christian experience wandering around stumbling over the same campfires. Do you? No, you don't. None of us do. And so we have to be careful not to come right to the brink. I used to watch a show when I was a child called Get Smart. Now, many of you will not remember Get Smart. How many of you remember Get Smart? Okay, there's a few of you remember Get Smart. Okay, some of you, hey, man, that's good. Maybe I hope there's not a new one and it's all, you know, it's been all perverted like Hollywood does everything else. The old Get Smart, I think his name was Maxwell Smart. He was like a secret agent guy, you know, and I was a kid when I watched it, but anyway, he was always
messing things up, and he had this little saying, and he would say, "Missed it by that much." You know? Of course, he was way off, but he always thought he was real close. Could you imagine the children of Israel now? What do you think about this before we look at this verse of Scripture? Here they were, had come right up to the brink. Are you listening? To something big that God had for them. I mean something big. God had brought them out of Egypt. And God had provided for them along the way till they came to Kadesh Barnea. And they were ready to pass in, and God said, "Now I want you to go in and I want you to possess that land." They were so close and yet so far away. They missed it. Can I tell you that as a pastor, I have seen folks time after time after time again miss God's best for their life, and they settled for something good. Now, God's always good. God took care of them in the wilderness. But God never intended it to be a wilderness journey all of your life. God never intended them to live and die in that wilderness. God had a better place for them. The promised land. God never intended on them to dwell in tents all of their experience. Look in chapter 6, if you would. And look, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse number 7. We're talking about the transition. God said, "I've got so much better for you." In verse number 7 of Deuteronomy 6, it says, "And thou shalt teach them," meaning your children, "diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest" where? In thy tent? Oh, no. No, God said, "I've got some permanency for you. I've got a better dwelling for you." Are they going to eat manna? No. No. He said, "This is a land flowing with milk and honey." You see, this is transition. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is. It's a book of transition where God said, "I've got something better for you." I sure hope that no one's sitting under the sound of my voice. I think we all know folks this way, and none of us are above it now, to where we could spend far too long in the wilderness. Doesn't take but one wrong turn now to get off track. But I thank God that it doesn't take but one prayer of repentance to get back on, aren't you? Amen. So I don't know that there might not be someone here, or maybe God just wanted me to preach that thought to help you help someone. I don't know. But I know this. I know that God has a place of victory for us. God has a place to where we can excel and where we can be better off than just wandering in the wilderness, stumbling and doubting and questioning and murmuring and saying, "Would to God we'd have stayed in Egypt." That's not the Christian life experience that God wants for your life or mine, is it, brethren? We know it's not. Let me give you one final one. I think this is the most important transition. As I studied the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to just turn to some scripture here. I'm going to give you a few things. So I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture. And if we don't get any further than this, that'll be okay. I want you to really see this. There was something that God wanted the children of Israel to know. God's always wanted man to know this. God's always wanted man to know, "I love you. I love you." Do you know that until you get to the book of Deuteronomy, God never tells man he loves him? Now, God shows him. He shows him. God showed Adam he loved him, right? He did. He fellowshipped with him every day in the cool of the garden. It appears that there was a constant fellowship there, and sin broke that, and God showed that he loved Adam, and the Bible says that God went after Adam and Eve. Aren't you glad God does that? Aren't you glad God seeks sinners? He's always sought us, brethren. He's always sought sinners. And he said, "Adam, where art thou?" Listen, that being interpreted would be, "I love you, Adam. Where are you? What happened?" But yet you'll never find God telling man he loves him. Now, he showed him, but he never told him until Deuteronomy chapter 4. So if you turn there, let's look at a few of these, okay? This is a transition. See, God's getting ready to move a people into a land. He's getting ready to reveal some things about himself to a nation that he has chosen that he has not revealed to them yet. And so I hope that you'll look with these scriptures with me. You'll go with me. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse number 37 of chapter 4. Notice what God tells the children of Israel here. Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Look in verse number 37. And because he loved thy fathers, this is speaking of God. God loved your fathers. Amen. Because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out of his sight, out in his sight and in his mighty power out of Egypt. So why did God bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Right here, I'll tell you why. Because he loved them. Preacher, why did God save me? Because he loves you. Say, did God save me because I'm good? No, God saved you because he's good. Amen. And he loves you. Turn, if you would, to chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 7 and verse number 7. See, that's the first time it's recorded in the scripture of God saying, I want you to tell them I love them. Now, God showed them from day one that he loved them. But he wanted to tell them. You say, well, preacher, I show my wife all the time I love her. I hope that's not all you do. Everyone likes to be told they're loved. You say, oh, not me, preacher. Yeah, I know. Everyone likes to be told they're loved. You ought to tell your spouse every day you love her. Amen. Tell your spouse, tell your husband, tell your wife every day. Tell your children every day, I love you. Amen. So I'm a man. I don't say those kind of things. Well, you've got the wrong idea of a man. Chapter number 7, look at verse number 7. In chapter 7, the Bible says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Just as simple as I love you. Why do you love me? Well, I just love you. Right? Is that what the Bible says here, brethren? You say, well, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Listen, I'm so glad God loves me. I'm so thankful God loves me. Say, preacher, I already know that. Well, sometimes we need to be reminded. It's okay to be put in remembrance of things. Let's read the rest of that verse. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God said, you tell him I love him, Moses. You tell them I love them. That's why I stand by their side. That's why I meet their needs. That's why I fight their fights. That's why I'll protect them. That's why I will guide them. Can I tell you that the same God that loved the children of Israel loves you? And he loves me. He loves his church. I'm glad that God so loved the world. Aren't you? Amen. You say, preacher, does God love sodomites? He sure does. Amen. You say, well, I don't love them. Well, now, wait a minute now. I'm not talking about loving the act of sodomy. I'm talking about loving sodomites. You ought to love sinners. Amen. That's right. I don't love President Biden. Well, you ought to love him and pray for him. That's right. You say, I don't agree with him. Well, I didn't say you had to agree with him. I said love him and pray for him. I don't agree with him either. You say, well, they're going to come pick you up. Well, you know what? They just come pick me up. I mean, this is America. If they pick me up, they're going to have to pick you up too. Amen. You say, well, I agree with him. You do. Talk with me after the service. I'd like to find out where you are. My goodness. I don't even get on that. Amen. Turn to chapter 10 before I get you and me both in trouble. You say, big brother's listening, preacher. Yeah, my father in heaven is too, and I'm more concerned about my father than my big brother. Chapter 10, look in verse number 15. Deuteronomy 10, verse number 15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. See, I'm just trying to show you that the Bible says that God loves his people. Because there's an enemy out there, and unfortunately, there's even some people in the cloak of religious garb, of maybe even people who say they're preachers that'll tell you, well, God doesn't love you if you do this, or God doesn't love you if you do that. Can I tell you, God loves you regardless. Now, God may not be pleased with you. That's right. God may not be pleased with you. Just like when your children do wrong, you may not be pleased with them. But you don't stop loving your children when they do wrong. No. No. I'm glad God loves me with an everlasting love. Amen. Let me give you one more scripture, and then I want to give you another truth. In chapter 23, we're just talking about some of the things that Deuteronomy offers. We're going to get more in detail in it. But I'm glad that this book, it's kind of a first mention. You know, there's a principle in the scripture called the first mention principle, which means that when God mentions it that first time, he never changes it. Now, he may build on it, but he never changes it. It's a first mention principle. And this is the first mention in the book of Deuteronomy where God is telling people, I love you. Now, he's shown that he loved them, but he's saying, here, I love you. I want you to, I love you. I'm saying it to you. I love you. There's just something very comforting about that. Deuteronomy chapter 23, look in verse number 5. Deuteronomy 23, this will be the last one, and then we'll go to something else, and then I'll get into a truth that I have for you, okay? 23, look at verse number 5. Nevertheless, or 5, I said 23, verse chapter 23, verse 5. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Why? Because the Lord thy God loved thee. Why does God do things for us? It's not because we deserve it. Brethren, if we got what we deserved, I don't think there's a person sitting under the sound of my voice nor watching by live stream tonight. I think we all realize where we would be and what we would be. But I'm glad God doesn't deal with me after my sin or according to my iniquity or what I deserve or don't deserve. God deals with me on the basis of my faith, my need. That's right. And I'm thankful that he does. So, preacher, with all that said, we've looked at the transitional, we've looked at the outline, we see the place of Deuteronomy in the canon of Scripture. What would you say the main truth of this book is? Well, I think it's really kind of simple when you just look at something that's repeated over and over again. God repeatedly says this, and I'll show you what I mean. Go back, if you would, and we'll just kind of turn through, and I won't turn to all of them, but I just want to show you a few things. This is what God is saying. He's saying, you know, I want to help this next generation. This first generation didn't fare too well. They wouldn't listen. And I hope I get to this tonight. They just wouldn't listen. As a matter of fact, before I get into what I'm getting to, I want you to see this, because this is something that as I was reading today, God said, you know, isn't that something? And I said, it is something, Lord. I said, you know, those people were just, they were people of unbelief. And then God just kind of smote me in my heart and said, like you sometimes. That's why I'd rather think that the children of Israel were. And he said, they were. But so are you sometimes. See, it's always easy to find the fault in someone else. Right? Isn't it amazing how everyone else's sin is just wicked? I mean, it's just wicked. But our sin, if we're not careful, we'll make it not that bad. Can I tell you, our sin is just as wicked as their sin? Our unbelief and our doubt and our stubbornness and our rebellion is just as wicked as theirs. Now, there's consequences. I talked about how that these folks came right up to the... Listen, they were this close now. Well, figuratively speaking. From going into the promised land, but you know what? Not only did they not make it into the promised land, they spent the rest of their life wandering around in the wilderness. Their carcasses perished in the wilderness, rather. They paid a steep price. They traveled, but they traveled to their own place. They were moving. They were active. They were doing something. They were carrying out life, but they were doing it in a way that was just repetition. It was the same old, same old. There was no real blessing to their life. They were this close. They were right on the brink from crossing in, and they turned and they moved, but they didn't move in the right direction. And when we do not, by faith, move in the right direction, we'll always be going backward. God doesn't want us to just be moving. God wants us to move in the right direction. God doesn't want us to be active and to be busy. Like Jesus, I want to be busy, but I want to be busy about my Father's business. I don't want to just be busy with religious activity. I want to be doing the will of God from my heart. I believe you do too. But I tell you, we have to be careful. Live by faith. It's important. Before I show you this thought, I'd like for you to look at chapter 2, verse number 1. This is after they said, "Nah, we're not going to do it." We got the report back. This is another thing that's amazing to me, okay? I mean, so you send 12 people. You listening? You send 12 people, and they go spy the land. Now, whether you think Moses approved it or disapproved of it, there's a debate about that, and we could go on and on. Don't know that it would really do any good. The fact is, the 12 went, and they came back. Listen, they saw the same cities, walled. They saw the same people. They saw the same landscape. They saw the sons of Anakim. They saw the giants. All 12 of them. And only two of them came back and said, let's go. Amen. Isn't that amazing how you can get a group of people together and they can see the same landscape, see the same thing. What's the difference, preacher? They all saw the cities. They all saw the giants. They all saw the people. They saw the land. They saw the fruit. They saw the milk. They brought the cluster of grapes back. What's the difference? The heart. The heart. See, two of them seen a big God, and 10 of them saw big giants. We just have to be careful what we see when God takes us to a place and says, look what I've done for you. When God shows you what he has for you, do you see opportunities or obstacles? Right? There's only two ways to view it. I mean, when God shows us something, you either view what God has for you as an opportunity or an obstacle. And if you view it as an obstacle, it's probably going to be tough sledding. But even if there are obstacles, it can be an opportunity because God will remove those obstacles if you will allow him to. Isn't that so, brethren? It is. You see, chapter 2, verse 1, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness. That may be one of the saddest verses. You see that in chapter 2, verse 1? After they sent these spies over, they came back, and you know, Joshua and Caleb said, hey, let's go, we can do this. And the 10 discouraged the hearts of the people. And they began to murmur. You know what God told these people? You read this if you haven't already. God said, I'm listening to you. And I've been listening to this murmuring long enough. I'm done with it. You're not going in. He said, now turn and go back. You ever wondered why they did? They did. They turned and went back. And they died in the wilderness. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. When God brings you to the brink of victory, let him finish the work. God has something for you. Don't stop short of what God has for you. All right, brethren? And God help me not to do the same. Now, all of us are capable of it. But with God's help. With God's help. Listen, we're not talking about a people who didn't know anything about God. I'm talking Wednesday night folks. All right? I'm not saying Sunday morning folks don't know anything about God or his experiencing with God. I'm not saying that. But I realize who I speak to tonight. Can I ask you to look at verse number 30 just for a moment? Chapter 1, verse 30. Moses told these folks to go over, and you know the story. I don't have to rehearse it before you. They said, well, you know, we know what God said, but we might ought to just do a little survey ourselves. Maybe God left something out. He didn't. He told them to go and possess, and they didn't. You know the story. And so when they came back, the scripture says that they discouraged the heart. Verse number 28, they said, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Is that what it says? Listen, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that to you, and I don't want to be that to anyone. I don't think you do. I don't want to be a discouragement to people. I want to be an encouragement to people. I want to walk a walk of faith, not by sight. The Bible clearly teaches that we're not to lean upon our own understanding. These people have become so accustomed to making their own decisions of doing things their own way that they thought, you know what? We've got this. I'll show you in a minute what I mean as we close. Okay? I'll just pick up next week on that other thought about not fearing. And that's really the theme of the book. Don't forget. Remember. Don't forget. Remember. Don't forget. Remember. It just comes up over and over and over again. You know why? You see what's on the front of this communion table? We're a very forgetful people. We're so forgetful that Jesus said, listen, I want you to have an ordinance. Now, there's two. He said, I want one of them to be that you won't forget what I've done for you. Isn't that something? You say, well, preacher, how could we ever forget what Jesus done for us? I don't know. Tell me. Tell me how you've forgotten, and I'll tell you how I have forgotten. I'm not proud of it. But we all forget the penalty, the price that was paid for our redemption, brethren. We don't forget we're saved. We don't forget who our Savior is. We just forget the sacrifice. We make light of it sometimes by the way we live and by the way we go about serving God. And it's almost as if it's, even though the Bible says it is our reasonable service, we act as though it's not. We act as though that God's asking us to do unreasonable things, when really in reality it's just reasonable that we would serve God and love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength because of what He's done for us. Wouldn't we, brethren? Wouldn't we? In verse number 30 of chapter number 1, the Bible says this. Moses, after these folks said, you know, our heart's discouraged, we're not going to go over. He said this, he said, the Lord your God, which goeth before you. Isn't that something? I mean, I could really take off right there. I'm so glad that God doesn't expect me to do this life alone. I'm so thankful that God is with me. Listen, I don't know about you, but I hope you know your pastor needs God more than anything else in life. I need God in my life. I like the songwriter who said, I need thee every hour. I don't want to get to the place in my life to where I feel like I'm confident that I can do this. See, that's what happened to these people. That's what happened to them. And Moses reminded them, he said, hey, listen. He said, God's taking care of you. Look what he said. He said in verse number 30, he said, he shall fight for you. Go on, God will fight for you. Go take that land. It doesn't matter what you saw. God's greater than all of it. Is that what Moses is doing, brethren? They came back and they said, well, I tell you, there's some big old guys over there. I mean, these jokers are big. They got big, long, tall, walled cities. And Moses said, what's that to God? Have you forgotten? Look what he said in verse 30. The last part of it, he said, according to all that he did for you in Egypt. Look at this next phrase. Before your eyes, you saw it. It's not like I told you what God could do. You saw what God could do. Amen. Brother, can I tell you, I've been saved long enough I've seen some things that God can do. Amen. You have too. We've seen what God can do. I remember when we wanted to pay the mortgage off, and there were some folks thinking, I don't know if it's going to get done or not, preacher. Amen. I mean, I don't think it's going to get done. Can I tell you, we burn it when we say we was going to burn it. Amen. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. There's been some folks praying for some people to get saved in their family, and can I tell you that God is faithful, they've gotten saved. There's just been some things that we've seen. We've seen God time and time again, brethren, do the impossible. Do the impossible. And Moses said, folks, he said, you know what God can do. You've seen it with your own eyes. And now you let some big, tall men keep you from trusting God and moving forward? Who's your tall men? What's the giants that's keeping you or me from trusting and believing God to do the impossible in our lives? I don't know what it may be. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's a financial, a marital, it's a child, or I don't know. Maybe there's someone that you want to see saved, and the more you pray for them, it seems like the more wicked and vile they get in life. Can I tell you, there's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible with the Lord. Well, let me close with this, all right? So what happens, preacher? Well, the Bible says that they wouldn't go in. I want you to write down this life lesson tonight. I fear that in this grace dispensation that people just feel like, you know what, God's a God of grace, and I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want. But that's not the way grace works, brethren. It's not. God said, Moses, tell the people to go in. They didn't go in. But if you look in verse number 41, Moses said, "Then you answered me and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord, and we will go up." We're going to go in. And Moses said, God said, "Moses, tell them not to do that." You know the story? You read this? See, there's a lot of folks think this way today. They think, well, I can just do what I want when I want. The window of opportunity is still open. In some things, but in some things it's not. You see, there's timing in what God wants us to do. And sometimes when God tasks me to do something and I don't do it, God will task someone else with that. God's going to get his work done. Amen. And I don't want to see any of us, and I don't think any of us want to miss out on the opportunities that God has given us. Follow me as we read. So the Bible says in verse number 41, "We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord your God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war." See, there's the first mistake. Moses had plainly told them, God's going to fight your battles. And they said, "No, we're going to do it." God said, "Okay." Can I tell you, God will let you fight your battles? Amen? God will let us fight our battles if we insist now. Not going to end well. And he said, "You were ready to go up into the hill." Verse 42, "And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight. I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemy. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear." You done got so overconfident that you just thought it doesn't matter what God's word or what God's man. It doesn't matter. We've got a plan. We're going to execute it, and God's going to bless us anyway. You know what that's called? There's a word here in verse number 43. Look at it. He said, "I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went," look at that next word, "presumptuously." That means with arrogant pride. God has to take care of us. We're his people. Let's see how that worked out for them. Verse number 44, the Bible says, "And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Zair, even into Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken unto your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that you abode there." And then they turned in chapter 2 and verse 1 and went back into the wilderness. You see, the door of opportunity had closed. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. Now, I don't know what would have happened had they just listened to God's man Moses and not went at that time and just waited for further instruction. But I do know this. When God gave instruction, they said, no, we're going to go ahead and do it. We're sorry. Now, they really wasn't sorry. They were just sorry that God had told them, "You're going to die in the wilderness." They were sorry for the consequences of their sin. They really wasn't sorry for their sin. They were just sorry for the consequences of it. And so, and you say, well, how do you know that? Well, read Numbers 14. It's a parallel passage. You'll see. Numbers 14. And so they said, "Well, we're just going to do it our way." Now, here's a big mistake in Christianity today. Okay? Instead of us asking God to show us how to do it, we do it and say, "Now, God bless it. We're going to do it our way. Now, God, add your blessing to it." No, that's not the way it works, brethren. It's not the way it works. So, well, as long as I'm doing something good, God's going to bless it. No, brethren, I'm telling you, that's not the way it works. That's not what the Scripture teaches. And so I want to encourage you now. When God speaks to your heart, immediate obedience. Delayed obedience is many times equivalent to disobedience. They said, "Okay, we're going to go." He said, "No, don't do that." No. And so they went on anyway. Well, they suffered great loss. And then they had to turn and go back into the wilderness. So that's kind of a sad note. We'll stand and I'll give you a positive note and we'll have prayer. There's one man, two really, but one that I want to hone in on. We'll pick him up next week, the Lord willing. Oh, what a blessing. There was one man that came back and said, "Oh, we can do this." Caleb. You know what the Bible says in verse number 36 of Deuteronomy chapter 1? That he wholly followed the Lord. Three times in Joshua chapter 14 it says that he wholly followed the Lord. Can I tell you that's where the blessing is? You say, what'd Joshua get? You know, when he went over and he helped search out the land, he got everywhere that he searched. God gave it to him. Can I tell you, when we obey God from the heart, God has special things for us. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Listen, God's word is so, brethren. Please don't buy into this, well, I can just do what I want, how I want. I know that many of you are not. I'm just saying, be cautious now. Be cautious. There's so many that's just thinking, well, I can kind of serve God, you know, part-time, haphazard, on, off, how I want, when I want. And God still, he's covenanted to bless me. Oh, no. That's nowhere in the book. God can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. Not us, him. Let's be like Caleb. Let's be like Caleb. Let's follow the Lord with all of our heart. Let's bow our heads together. This book of Deuteronomy, it's a beautiful book with a lot of great truths in it that I believe is going to help us. As we learn what it is to be loved by God and to respond to his love and to obey his commandments and not to forget and just to remember who we are and who God is and who we are to God. God has something special for his children. What does God have for you? Has God brought you to a place to where you need to exercise some faith to move to the next phase? If it is, and you're there, I pray that God would give you the faith to move forward and not back. Father, I want to thank you for the word of God. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you would teach us to observe, to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord. Help us to be obedient to your word. God, we bring ourselves under the authority of your word. And we pray that you would teach us to carry out your word in an obedient way, in a way that would honor you. Thank you for loving us. Teach us from your word what it is to be loved by you. And God, teach us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Go with us now and help us to live out principles that we have learned tonight in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.